All right, I'm going to do one more show before I go to Montreal. I figured that might be it. Maybe I would just end with that last one. But I was going to leave tomorrow. It's Friday afternoon. I was going to leave Saturday afternoon. But my parents are both taking off for the weekend. They need someone to look after their dogs. So I'm staying until Sunday. And I kind of thought that might be too long to be in Montreal anyway. Because, let me see, Sunday. Yeah, this is a pretty long time. Because I'm going to be there till the 6th. Wait, for some reason I need a calendar. I can't fucking figure things out on my own. Anyway, yeah, and then I realized I'm bringing the Zoom. That's my fancy recorder that I don't use very much. Brad had it, so I haven't used it lately. And, you know, give it a test run, make sure it's still working all right. And somebody posted a nice little comment on the last show, like, hey, man, hope you get to do another show before you go. So I was like, fuck it, I got some time to kill. I can do another show. Let's see, yeah, today is only the 26th, and I'm going to be there until Ian's plane is leaving Monday, July 6th, so a week and a half or something, and then if I'm really into it, I can fucking stay longer. I could stay forever, fuck. Wouldn't that be weird? I just moved to Montreal and never come back. Anyway. Yeah, I was thinking maybe this is too long to be in Montreal. I'm going to spend the first few days hanging out with Matt and then the next few days with Ian because Matt's probably taken off. He was going to stay a little later, but I guess he's there for a French course and he kind of ran out of money. So once their charitable ways expire, he might hop back home here. So yeah, I didn't really care about waiting an extra day to look after dogs. That's fine. I don't give two fucks. And unfortunately, it's like an 11-hour ride. And I was like, ah, man, that's going to suck a little bit because the only MP3 player I've got charges through the USB, so there's no way it's going to last 11 hours. So I just brought a lot of books and notepads and stuff. Well, one book. I'm packing pretty light. But I just realized that the Zoom here, it eats batteries like a bitch, but if I just bring enough batteries and toss some music on the extra SD card that I borrowed from Brad, that could do me. That'll get me. Through 11 hours. If anything, it almost seems kind of fun now. I'm like, hey, 11 hours, that's a lot of time to fucking catch up on writing and reading and just sitting around listening to shit. So, that's cool, man. I'm kind of looking forward, in a dumb way, kind of looking forward to this 11-hour fucking bus ride. But anyway, I got a few other little songs here and there that I was meaning to play on the last podcast and I didn't get around to because the mosquitoes were fucking biting me in the balls. So let's see what I got. All right, well, let's start with the new Alexis on Fire album. Fourth album of theirs just came out, and the Advanced Recon I heard was, I was talking to another Keith and the Girl fan, or should I say Ham Radio. Ham Radio listener, I presume a Keith and the Girl fan. How else do people find my shows? And, yeah, and he was like, man, new Alexis on Fire, it's a shame, because it fucking sucks balls. Oh, yeah, okay, well, I'll bring this up. We were blabbing about Canadian versus American pop music type shit, where nowadays our Much Music, that's our MTV, it's essentially the same shit as what happened to MTV. It's like it's TV shows now. It's not music anymore. It's you know, they instead of Much Music, they just call it Much. And instead you can get specialty cable channels, you know, if you want to get music stuff, which I can never get because I don't have fucking all that bullshit. But back in the 90s anyway, when MTV was already done for, Much Music was still good. But it was slowly slipping towards suckiness and just teeny bopper horrible shit. See, there's a quick digression. I wonder how the 90s are going to be remembered. You know, the stereotypical ways that you see the 60s, the 50s, the 80s, whatever. Which isn't really how it was. That was just sort of a defining characteristic that stood out. And I wonder if the 90s are going to be remembered for the flannel shirts and the grunge era, the Kurt Cobain type thing, when it really shouldn't, because what the 90s really were all about is terrible shit, man. You know? Like, at the very start of the 90s, when the 80s hadn't been shooken off yet and it had taken on this weird day glow, Rico Suave, fucking just EMF, weird, bad bullshit. That came back. That didn't stay away for the whole decade. by the mid late 90s, it was just Britney Spears, Backstreet Boys, is like that. You look at the album charts, it was all Mariah Carey and Garth Brooks, man. That was the overwhelming fucking... That was the 90s. But that is the bland, generic, awful 90s, so hopefully it is remembered more for the Kurt Cobain-type stuff. But around that time, early 2000s, say, Much Music was already really starting to transform to the point where I just couldn't flip it on and watch it anymore. It was mostly just really bad stuff. We had this this show called Much On Demand that was, I guess, like Total Request Live, similar type thing. Played a lot of shitty music, a lot of crap I just couldn't stand. But for some reason, the first Alexis on Fire single, it was called Pulmonary Archery. And that whole album is kind of hard to digest for me. Matt really likes it. It's like, it's a fucking rough-ass album, man. I mean, I guess it's Screamo is what that shit eventually became known as, but just like loud, aggressive, crazy time signatures and just fucking... It's a tough-ass song. And it got played all the time. It was a huge hit. It even got played during that Teeny Bopper bullshit show. So I saw Alexis on Fire around that era at the Little Elks Lodge in my hometown. And I ran into George Petit, I think his name is. He's the crazy yelling screamo singer. And I just saw him on the stairs, so I just only had like 2 seconds to pass him. But I was just like, hey, man, like, how did you guys get on fucking Much Music so much? What the fuck happened? And he just said, I don't know. It don't beats me. Because it was a weird thing. But maybe not as weird, really, because Canada has always been better for... Even if you're just absorbing our mainstream shit. You know, we got our own version of Ricky Martin. Like, what was that guy's name? Sean Desmond. You know, we got awful stuff. But I think it is better in general. Just because we have maybe fewer people, you know? And... with the Canadian content laws. I'm fucking rambling like crazy. Point is, this guy I was talking to over email was like, man, I really like Alexis on Fire, but this new album, yeesh, what the fuck happened? And on the first couple listens, I see kind of what he means. There's a certain genericness to it. It, in some ways, it seems like you fucking crank it up, crank up the pitch a little bit. This could be hair metal, sort of. It's a weird thing. They're moving away from... the super guttural vocals and slowing stuff down a bit, and I don't know, we'll see, maybe it'll grow on me. But the first song is called Old Crows, and I like this song a lot because I'm starting to get old now. I'm 29 years old, not quite a kid anymore, and this is like a call to fucking arms for the people starting to get a little old. Just fucking don't waste your fucking time thinking, wishing it was the olden days, wishing it was yesterday. And honestly, I don't really. I feel more effective and capable and socially fucking fluent in my late 20s than I ever did before. So, it's not like this song really fucking calls to me, but a little, you know? It's just nice. It's nice to have that reminder. So this is Old Crows by Alexis on Fire. Right. When I grow up, I buy Zimbu Bazibu and Billy Band on this day, Bambi. I have no idea what the chick's saying in this song. No fucking clue at all. I tried to listen to this whole album a couple of times, but it is just weird kind of music. It's not necessarily my thing. But this one song, I think it's mostly because it had such a cool video. My last Ham Radio video edition, I played this song. It's When I Grow Up by Fever Ray. And so it could just be that I liked the video so much that it got me listening to the song enough times that the song sunk in. But hey, whatever. I used to have this weird thing when I was younger where I would feel like I owed it to an artist to listen to their whole album. Or their whole everything, you know? Like, if I just stuck with the single or the one song, I felt like I was some kind of, like, fake poser. Like, I shouldn't be doing that. I should be... And now I just don't care so much about that anymore. It's like, well, I'm testing old tapes. Let's see what's on this one.
It's kind of bringing me back, because, I don't know, what time is it? Like, 1:30? Something, in the morning? But this is when I did a ton of these in New York, like, at night, you know, just walking the streets. This is...
Oh, that was the podcast I did with Terry. This is that old tape. Cool. Yeah, nowadays I'm more like, hey, whatever. If I got the one hit, the one song that I like, and I never get around to digging into the rest, that's fine. I got no more weird music nerd guilt about it. Anyway, weird tune. Very strange. Very unusual for the type of stuff that I listen to, but very cool. This is When I Grow Up by Fever Ray.
I want to be a forester, run through the moss.
Do you ever put off taking showers for way too long? Those of you that have jobs, this is probably not a big problem. It's probably not a big issue because it's probably not a big option. And I guess it's only been like 2 days, but man, in this heat, 2 days equals a week easy. And I just know as soon as I change my clothes and go take a shower, I'll just feel better in general. But I keep putting it off and putting it off all day. Plus it sucks because the fucking plumbing is fucked up in this house. So if you run a shower too long, it makes the water leak through the ceiling downstairs or some shit. So I gotta, and I tried with the baths for a while, but I just can't, man. Fucking baths, you kidding me? That sucks. That'll be a nice thing about being at a fucking hotel in Montreal. I can just take showers every day, 2-3 times a day if I want. I miss the place I had in Vancouver that had like its own little shower thing. Like, you know, the shower was like a hotel shower. It's not a bathtub with a shower in it. You know, it's like a dedicated shower. It's like an awesome luxury to me. So I end up having to just jump in the shower real quick. It kind of sucks. Makes it less fun. I used to always, when I was a kid, I just wouldn't leave the shower until the hot water ran out. And then I moved into newer, more modern places where the hot water really doesn't run out. So it's, I don't know. Just, I used to love just being in the shower. You just wait. You just wait it out. You just stay. It's just fun. I like it. I like showers is my point. I miss taking long showers. Fascinating! That's interesting! Wow! I also like having a big house. I mean, this is a huge house. 3 stories with a big fucking basement, too. So it's big anyway, so you can just be loud. Plus, there's nobody home. Everyone else is at work. At their jobs. A lot of roommate situations in the last few years of my life where, you know, just you don't want to be loud because it's obnoxious. So you just listen to everything through headphones and stuff. It was nice the other day, I was playing Street Fighter 4 with Dan, and my dad's got a big stereo in, like, the next room, so you have to crank it pretty loud, but who gives a shit? Doesn't matter at all. Dig through his CDs, try to find stuff that I like, found some fucking, like, OK Computer, you know, go back, relive the memories. Speaking of that, let's play some Radiohead right now. I was just dicking around on torrent sites and stuff, and I found the demos for In Rainbows. And the album In Rainbows really never grew on me as much as it did for other people. People seem to fucking adore that album. The only 2 songs that really sunk in for me were 15 Step, just because I think it's the best song, and Reckoner, because it was played during the credits of that movie Choke. What can I say? It's easy to hook me with visuals. If I hear a movie, a song in a movie, or a video for a song, suddenly I like the song. So, let's play the 15 Step demo, just to hear how it started. A little bit rougher version. It's pretty neat. Radiohead with 15 Step demo on Ham Radio, pre-Montreal, final show before I get on a bus for 11 hours. You might recall on the show I did with Dan, we played Dan Lesac versus Scroobius Pip, Thou Shalt Always Kill, which is a very cool song and an even cooler video. And that got me to download their shit, get their album, or whatever the fuck they got. And there was this one song about Cupid that I really liked over this Bob Dylan loop that it turns out wasn't on the album. It was some weird obscurity somewhere that I accidentally deleted, so I'm downloading it right now upstairs, but it's coming down real slow. So in the meantime, here's another song that I like. The whole album was pretty good. I find, like, I've become so spoiled musically. Just, like, I just got no time for anything, you know? I'll listen to an album a few times and maybe pick out the song or two that I like. Like that new Metric album. As soon as I decided that Satellite Mind was my favorite song, that's pretty much it. I just put that on my playlist and deleted the rest. It's like, I got no time for albums, man. No time. I like what Billy Corgan's doing, his theory. I don't know if he's still following through, but his theory was to just put out singles or small EPs, you know, small digestible chunks of music. And you can do it frequently, that's fine, but whole albums, you know, I don't know. I just would rather flip over to a podcast or something if I'm going for a walk. Because you got to listen to an album a few times before it sinks in, for me. It's just, it's, you know, I don't know. I ain't got time for this shit, man. I'm a busy man. Mentally busy, if not physically busy. But I listened to the entire Dan Lesac versus Scroobius Pip album. And I was like, this is actually pretty interesting, pretty good, pretty fucking entertaining. And this song is called Looking for the Woman, and it's a pretty nice little tune. So let's listen to that. I'm going to go take that shower that I was blabbing about. Possibly wash my cock and balls. Well, almost certainly. I mean, it'll kind of just happen by accident, but I do intend to deliberately go out of my way. Look, I'll get back to you.
There's a weight over me today, something I have to say. Love you too much to leave, don't like you enough to stay. And I'm stressed, but I guess it's a test in the quest for happiness and the rest of that mess. So I best just acquiesce, even though I've grown tired of you. And that ain't meant to sound spiteful, I just try to be insightful when I write all my emotions in the night. All the stuff I try to fight will just come out. And the sad fact is, I'm so tired of you. Love, it's a weird thing, ain't it? There's a way to explain it, but I swear as well as pain, there should be joy, but we sustain the same level of mundane, and it's numbing me through. I often wonder if I'd miss you and still have the urge to kiss you. If an issue was to hit through to this heart that now feels tissue and said issue was too big to just ignore, and I walked out on you. The chances are I'd fall apart, suffer seizures of the heart as my chest begins to smart. The very second I depart, I want to go back to the start. But then again, maybe I just feel new. Maybe I'd get my life on track and start to focus my attack on all the things my life just lacks and start to claw my passion back instead of living like a hack. Half committed, half relaxed, I'd have nothing to lose.
There's a weight over me today, something I have to say. Love you too much to leave, don't like you enough to stay. There's a weight over me today, something I have to say. Love you too much to leave, don't like you enough to stay.
Lately I've had too much time to think, and yeah, way too much to drink. When paper meets the ink, overthinking is the chink in my armor. That's just what I do. And I've always been that way, forever questioning each day. And every play that's made that made me when I lay my busy mind will make me pay by finding problems and reasons that might not even be true. See, we got together so young, before our real lives have begun. But flowers don't grow up as one, each finds its own route to the sun. And that's exactly what we've done. We've grown up separately too. For a few years now, it's been a problem. And these realizations, I wish that I could stop them. But I've realized that love is all we have in common. And deep down, you know that's true. But then surely that I'm still in love with you means there's something we can do to get us through and to pursue a brand new point of view on how this gap grew between me and you. So there's a weight over me, and I'd hate to have to leave. But in fate, I don't believe. And the state of you and me isn't great, as you can see. So I'll keep thinking this through.
There's a weight over me today, something I have to say. Love you too much to leave, don't like you.
You know, that song makes me think of Ian for reasons that I probably don't need to explain. But I was listening to, I will occasionally, once in a while, go back and listen to an old ham radio. And sometimes, I mean, I think most people don't like to hear themselves back. They don't like to hear themselves recorded. They don't like to listen to themselves. And I understand that, definitely. I got to the point where I used to listen to myself on Keith and the Girl, and I got to a point where I was just like, what am I? Why? I was there. It happened. But I find it easier with ham radio just because there's music. There's somewhere that I'm getting to. And I'm not always talking about myself. I'm talking about music a lot of times. But it's still interesting to listen back to just to remember whatever was going on at the time. And I listened back the other day to the episode called 2 Days in New York. Because, I don't know, I just wanted to walk down that memory lane again. And there was this one point where I was talking about problems me and Ian were having in our relationship, and there's this one point where I'm just like, I realize every problem we had, all of our problems, they're my fault. They really are. I understand that. It's like, listening back to that, it's like, Jesus fucking Christ, really? I don't know. I don't know how I convinced myself so fucking fully that I was at fault for everything. But listening back, I was a little bit disgusted with myself. It's like, have some balls, man. Grow some fucking sack. Anyway, I took my shower. It's pretty nice. Perhaps now I should find another song to play. Hey, I just got the sound working on this new computer. That's fucking cool. My dad just got a new computer, thank fucking Christ, because the one he had before, I don't even know how fucking old it is. I'm a big fan of using things as long as possible, you know, really getting your fucking money's worth out of them. I think people tend to disregard stuff too early when it's still plenty usable. You know, they always want the new thing, whatever. But there does reach a point when you're just fucking making your life miserable for no good reason. And that's where this computer had gotten to. It is so slow. So fucking slow. It would lock up just because you downloaded something in Firefox. Like, just sit there for 30 seconds and not do anything. It had a hard time playing YouTube videos. It didn't have USB 2.0, so if I downloaded a movie and then switched it over to a portable drive, it took forever. Just the worst, man. Like, you could literally get a computer 10 times better than this for $200. So my dad just got this new fancy pants computer, but the sound wasn't working. But I found the sound driver, got it all going. Pretty fucking sweet. So I'm going to play Browd's blah, blah, blah. Do-over! I'm gonna play a Brad Sucks song. This is another song I was kind of on the fence about, but, you know, since I'm just tossing shit out there before I go, why the fuck not? It's called Tell Me Something I Don't Know. And it was never, like, an album song. It's just one of his little weird leftovers you can get if you sign up to his mailing list. And any Brad Sucks fans out there, we'll probably recognize a lot of elements of this song. It sounds a lot like the very first song on his very first album, which is called Look and Feel Years Younger, that was based on email subject lines for junk mail. Look and Feel Years Younger. And it's a pretty good song. And this song really reminds me of it. It's like a very much slower, but the chord progression sounds almost the same. But there's it's a really neat song. It's this kind of long, kind of slow, kind of a dreary tune, but it's cool. I kind of dig this song. So let's listen to this. And that's one of those things where I always need someone to back me up on these things. I'm always, like, searching, I don't know, just to see if someone else noticed that or if I'm just crazy. And I did find a post somewhere on Brad Sucks' website where someone mentioned that this song reminds them a lot of Look and Feel Years Younger. One I could never find is, not like I've been looking forever, but like last week I was looking for this. Me and Dan rented Street Fighter 4, like I mentioned, and the little opening and ending movies are the fucking shittiest. They are so shitty. It's like someone just drew the keyframes and no one did the in-betweens. It's pork chop sandwiches. It's fucking sub-80s. It's awful. Just terrible. Which makes sense, kind of, for guys like Blanca and fucking Dan Hibiki, just like funny joke characters, Zangief and stuff, but for the serious ones, it's like, what the fuck? You know, you put all this time and all this work into Street Fighter 4, and it's just awful. Just terrible. And I just feel like I need that opinion validated. I need someone else to say that. But I did a quick search around and nothing was jumping out at me. And I'm like, really? Is everyone so Xbox Lived that no one even cares anymore? There's a lament that if I listen back to this show when I'm 75, I'll be like, are you fucking kidding? Could you have wasted your youth any more fucking more than that? Like, come on. I'm 75 years old now. I'm about to die. And this is what you were concerned about? Sorry there, 75-year-old Keith. I fucked you good on that one. Here's Brad Sucks. Tell me something I don't know.
Yeah.
Here's one I wasn't gonna play, but because you know it'll be like stuff that I used to like, and then I try to go back, and I'm like, eh, I don't know, do I really want to play this anymore? Do I even give a shit anymore? And in this case, it's the Bloodhound Gang with "Along Comes Mary," which was a cover of a song about weed that they did for, I don't know, probably Half Baked or something. But they wrote all new music for it, and it's just fucking cool. It's just a fucking cool song. So I realized that I was listening through the whole thing, and if I can just listen through the whole thing and dig it, then why wouldn't I play it? I got no reason to be ashamed of the Bloodhound Gang. I used to love those guys. The fucking One Fierce Beer Coaster is a really good album. Use Your Fingers had some stuff. Hurry for Boobies was kind of losing me. And I only heard Hefty Fine or whatever it's called, like, one time. And it really seemed like it sucked. But anyway, here and again, Bloodhound Gang pulled out a cool fucking tune. And I heard that Jimmy Pop didn't think this song was about weed. He had to be convinced of it. He's like, no, it's just about meeting a cool girl, man, who makes your life cool. But he was wrong. Anyway, here's "Along Comes Mary" by the Bloodhound Gang. Pretty nice little tune to remember the 90s by.
Every time I think that I'm the only one who's lonely, someone calls on me. And every now and then I spend my time at rhyme and verse and curse those faults in me. And then along comes Mary. Then along comes Mary. And does she wanna give me kicks and be my study chicken? Give me thicker memories. Or maybe rather gather tears from all the fails and tribulations no one ever sees. When we met, I was sure out to lunch. Now my empty cup tastes as sweet as the punch. Sweet as the punch. One big desire is the fire in the eyes of chicks whose sickness is the games they play. And when the masquerade is played and neighbor folks make jokes as who is most to blame today. And then along comes Mary. Then along comes Mary. And does she wanna set them free and let them see reality from where she got her name? And will they struggle much when told that such a tender touch of hers will make them not the same? When we met, I was sure out to lunch. Now my empty cup tastes as sweet as the punch. Sweet as the punch. The gas and plastic kids are flung across the stars. The psychodramas and the trauma's gone. The songs are left and sung and hung upon the scars. And then along comes Mary. Then along comes Mary. And does she wanna see the stains with the remains of all the pain she left the night before? Or will the raking eyes reflect the lies and make them realize the urgent cry for sight no more? I was sure out to lunch. Now my empty cup tastes as sweet as the punch. Sweet as the punch. When we met, I was sure out to lunch. Now my empty cup tastes as sweet as the punch. When we met, I was sure out to lunch. Now my empty cup tastes as sweet as the punch. Sure out to lunch. Now my empty cup tastes as sweet as the punch. When we met, I was sure out to lunch. Now my empty cup tastes as sweet as the punch. When we met, I was sure out to lunch. Now my empty cup tastes as sweet as the punch. When we met, I was sure out to lunch. Now my empty cup tastes as sweet as the punch. Sweet as the punch.
What was the last thing I recorded? Did I even introduce a song yet? I don't know. I don't remember. It's been about an hour. And I had a little lie down. Anyway, I just added another potential leg to my trip. Is Tech Andrew, who does a lot of sound help for Keith and the Girl, and was, if anybody's got the Point Counterpoint DVD, I did a little mini documentary thing on there, and he was one of the best dudes on it. But he mentioned that Ottawa ain't that far away from Montreal, and he's got a couch that's always fucking ready, so who knows, man? Maybe after a few days with Matt, a few days with Ian, maybe I'll just be ready to come the fuck home. But if not, who knows? Maybe I could just add a nice little Ottawa leg to that trip. That could be cool. So, I've mentioned this song a couple times already and still haven't played it, so it's time to fucking play it. This is Stereophonics with their cover of Nothing Compares to You, which was an extremely famous Sinead O'Connor song back in the day, in the early 90s. And I found out at some point that it was actually a cover of a Prince song, and I looked that up. It turns out it's this sort of side thing Prince did called The Family, I think. And it was terrible. His version of this song was fucking shitty, but that explains why it's spelled Nothing Compares to and letter U, because Prince does that fruitiness and always did. So, yeah, the Stereophonics cover of it is pretty nice, and then because of this, I remember I was up all night one time, and it was like sun was coming up, I was still up on the computer, just listening to music, and it's like one of those things where when you're really tired, it's way easier for me to be hit by various weird emotions. I suspect it must be like what it's like to be a girl, you know? Just, it's, whatever, I don't know if defenses are the right word, but everything just hits me easier. You know, I'll be listening to some dude on YouTube do a cover of a fucking Elliott Smith song or something, and it just seems like the most fucking awesome thing in the world. And then you listen to it again later, and you're like, it's just a dude playing a fucking song. But I went back and dug up the Sinead O'Connor video for Nothing Compares to You, because I kind of vaguely remembered it, because this song was, like, massive. Just a huge hit. Insane. And I was just starting to get into music back when this song came out, and I just thought it was an annoying radio song. You know, fucking sappy love song. I got no time for that. Who gives a shit? And it's not that I wasn't into that kind of stuff at all. I remember on Blood Sugar Sex Magik, you know, the Chili Peppers, they had a couple tender little songs. I Could Have Lied, things like that. They were fine. But I didn't like Sinead at the time. I just kind of vaguely remember this video of her big face on the screen. So I went back to watch it again, and it's like, holy cow, like, sometimes there's a reason why a song is such a huge hit. You know, it's not just marketing. It's not just because people like sappy shit. Sometimes this stuff is good. Like, it seemed really good. And the video is mostly, it's just her face. And actually, the parts that cut away from that to other things just seem silly. They seemed, I don't know, phony. So, yeah, she's just singing along. And the famous moment is that she cries at the end of the video. Just a couple of tears roll down. And so I looked that up too, and it's the line about how all the flowers that you planted, mama, in the backyard all died when you went away. And it turns out Sinead O'Connor had all these problems with her mom, lots of fights and stuff, and then her mom died. So that was that was the line that set her off. And I also liked how in this Stereophonics version, there's another really good line. I know living with you was sometimes hard, but I'm willing to give it another try. And the Stereophonics guy, just, I'm willing to give it another try. You know, he just fucking, mum, just pulls everything he can out of that fucking line. Where in the Sinead O'Connor version, she doesn't. She does the opposite. She kind of just lets it drop. Like, it's a tough thing to even say. And it's just really cool. It got me good. Next time I do a video ham radio, I'll play that shit. But for now, here's the Stereophonics cover of Nothing Compares to You.
It's been 7 hours and 15 days since you took your love away. I go out every night and sleep all day since you took your love away. once you've been gone, I can do whatever I want. And I can see whoever I choose. I can eat my dinner in a fancy restaurant, but nothing, I said nothing can take away these blues. Nothing can stop these lonely tears from falling. So tell me, baby, where did I go wrong? I could put my arms around every girl I see, but they only remind me of you. So I went to the doctor, and guess what he told me? Guess what he told me? He said, boy, you better try to have fun no matter what you do. But he's a fool, 'cause nothing compares, nothing compares to you. That you planted, mama, in the backyard, they all died when you went away. And I know that living with you, baby, was sometimes hard, but I'm willing to give it another try.
I also like the idea of how originally Prince wrote that song for some chick, and I've definitely become a lot more cynical about love, for instance. I mean, like, there's these weird things that you tell kids, these absurd ideas that are totally dumb that they just kind of believe, like there's one person out there for everybody, you know? You gotta find your one person. That's fucking stupid. Love at first sight is largely stupid. And just this whole nothing compares to you, there's this longing for this one person. It's like, really? You can't just get on the fucking wagon and, you know, get back out there, start seeing someone else. It's not that I don't believe in it, but it's gotta be pretty fucking, a fairly fucking amazing situation for it to really be like that fucking epic. Like, this is it. This is the person. I just, it's, 'cause that's just not how fucking, it's not how it works, man. It's a lot of work to get along with people. You gotta decide to make relationships work, because there is nobody that it's that easy. That is a myth. That is a misinformation. You should never go into these relationships just thinking you can find the right person and everything will be easy, because that's never going to happen. That's just going to lead you into disaster. But Sinead's take of the song being about her mom, I like that one. That one I can understand, because that is much more of a unique relationship between, you know, a person and their parents. And then once they're gone, you know, you can't get that one back. You can't replace that type of thing. So, I always thought that was kind of cool, that take on it. So, let's flip back around from meaningful to totally unmeaningful. And let's start playing bands that I've already played. A lot of these bands that I've played on the show, it's like, oh, there's another song by them I'd like to play. And I was kind of resisting it. Like, well, let's try to switch it up more. But fuck it. Why? Since when did I ever really put a lot of pre-planning into this fucking show anyway? And especially this. This really is one more for the road. Get this show done, give me something to eat up some time. I'm really thinking, like, I don't necessarily have to be here tomorrow for these dogs. I really could leave tomorrow. Maybe I should just send Matt, like, a last-second email and be like, fuck it, I'm fucking leaving. I don't know, mom and her dogs. Because it turns out Dad's only going to be gone from, like, 3 o'clock to midnight. That's so what? Like, I'm going to pay any attention to the dogs anyway. Anyway, while I think this over, another fucking Bloodhound Gang song. This is Hooray for Boobies. Not a super fantastic album. Oh, it's alright. It's got some things here and there. And this is my favorite song. It's called The Inevitable Return of the Great White Dope.
In a nutshell.
One part the pure, one part the pope, the inevitable.
Man, that's a pretty sweet fucking tune. I like that fucking song. I decided, no, I will leave Sunday. I mean, I'm sure I could use the time just to get shit ready. And if I really love it so much, I can always just stay longer at the end of the trip. Here's a song, that band Harpoon Missile that I played last show, where I was complaining that their first single was totally badass, and then their second one was totally pussy. I managed to find the album, and this song in particular stood out because it's fucking cool sounding and just so insane that these guys had a single that was all, you know, I try so hard for you, my baby girl. Because, like, this shit is fucking ridiculous. It starts with, like, his mom getting fucking killed and raped and his dad getting decapitated and he's throwing up while he watches this happen in the corner, and it's like, that's what you're meant to do, Harpoon. Harpoon Missile, what the fuck? You fucking, oh, you try so hard. I don't give a shit about you trying so hard to be a good dad. I want to hear about people getting fucking killed, so thank you very much. Let's listen to that.
And in this age of chaos, men were fearful, and power over other men made them feel less afraid.
In the near future, man finally destroyed the world. All the bodies of the women and children made your toes curl. Raped, abused, and battered. The traumatizing killing of my mother and father that left my life shattered. They split her from where I first came out, decapitated her. Then they started eating her out. My mom bled. Hanging from the ceiling was my dad's head. Throwing up as they made me watch. Had the cops in the corner while my wire snapped. My whole family slaughtered while they had me trapped. I yelled out, kill me too. As the barbarians looked and laughed, grabbed our food and water and then flashed. Through your throat, I grew older and wiser with revenge on the back of my mind. A stronger man, young adult in his prime. Practice every night all my torturing techniques. Sharpening knives, thinking of revenge so sweet. Having flashbacks of the bloodbath. Tears went down my face, thinking what devil would have done that. Got tips on where the sodomites be at. Had war child slice the voice box of the rat. Said, why'd we kill him? I said he cut off my daddy's head. And besides, it found my mustache. The rest our heads, set up camp like the fire, and pitch that tent. We ain't roasted rattlesnakes over the open fire. Rest well, war child, as his eyes retired. We were close, the vision through my telescope. There he is, the one in the black trench coat. No time to waste, war child, we must move now. Set the plastic up around the whole compound. On three, said a prayer, then looked up at the sky. And then his army went up like the 4th of July. Rock and roll, seek, destroy, and conquer. It's time for him to meet his fate, he'll live no longer. Off with his hands and feet as he screams, oh Lord! Runs a knife in his wife, up a crotch with the sword. To beat the devil, you gotta be a devil. Only the strong survive on this
only
level.
The strong will survive, and the weak will perish right before your eyes. Only the strong will survive, and the weak will perish right before your
is a song. Ah! That's some fucking Mad Max shit. That's crazy. Now let's bring it down to a more soothing level with another Radiohead fucking demo. This is Reckoner, the other song that I like on In Rainbows. Alright, that Cupid song that I was talking about, it did download the Scroobius Pip, Dan Lesak, whichever one is which, I don't know, song. But it's a little bit long, and it's like, you know, Cupid talking about shit. And it really, it is cool, it builds builds really cool. The end of it especially is really nice. But since we just listened to a kind of quiet, slower song with the Radiohead, let's fucking toss in another song in between. Here's another song from the new Alexis on Fire that kind of stood out to me. What the fuck is this one called? I don't know. Anyway, it's just generic questioning of America. Pretty well-worn territory for the hippin' and the hoppin' and the rickin' and the rockin' and what have you. You think if I worked for a radio station, they'd be like, really? That's your throw? That's how you're getting from one song to another? Luckily, the time of radio is over! You're dead, fuckers! You're dead and you suck and fuck you! It's all podcasts and shit now, so how do you like that, dick faces? The days of getting paid for this are over, man! Over! It's all for free. Although I actually got a couple donations this week. So thank you to everyone who's ever donated and everyone who will donate in the future because you're cool. So this song is also, it builds to something really cool. It's a pretty good song anyway, but this Alexis on Fire song, I mean. Dallas is their pretty singer, Dallas Green. And when he starts singing In America at the end, it sounds cool. So here's a shorter song that builds up to something cool, followed by a longer, slower song that also builds up to something cool. My prognosis? Cool. If I were asked to describe these songs in a word, I would say cool.
Hi, my name is Cupid, and I'm an alcoholic. Yes, I am the Cupid. Yes, this is my true form. I am tall, dark, and handsome-ish. You look surprised. Were you expecting something different? Maybe a little bit more rosy-cheeked? Yeah. I bet you think McDonald's is run by a clown, too. I drink. I drink often. Whiskey is my poison. It's a work stress thing. Work has been my one true obsession ever since I got this bow. Won unlimited arrows and got told to turn the world to love. And I thought, be done in a week, for sure. That was eons ago. Still, I started well enough. To the Cain-enabled incident, like a fist to the chin, you're bound to get one someday. Kinda lost the plot for a while, but I was certain of Zeus's lightning. I could wing it like Mercury's helmet, and I still come out a Greek hero. But Maker got disgusted, thought I was way in over my head. Press reset, reverted the world back to zero, sparing only 2x2 on an arc. I saw the first sunrise on a blue earth so quiet you could hear my heart crack. That day my good friend Venus quit, moved planet. These days she's so bitter, the skies and eyes are sulfuric, and I stay. I believed. I must have been smoking something, cause I still had faith in y'all. And I know love is hard to pull off, but I had plans, I had plans, I had plans, I had plans, I had plans so perfect even the devil couldn't laugh. But then the brother always does, equal into ostrich, and now I'm here drinking. Now I just pull, aim, and shoot. Mortals blame me for everything from cold, lonely nights to empty sunrises. It's why they paint me as a baby. Their insecurity is my youth, and their wrong-footedness is my blindfold. I've never been blind. Far from it. I take great care in picking my target's match. I pull, I aim, I shoot. I pull, I aim, I shoot. And for my best efforts, I see my results sullied by the silliest of reasons. She's perfect for you, but she's black. Exactly a type, he's short. She will love him forever, she's Muslim. He will treat you like a Republican. All I see is human. No more, no less. And mortals use me as a springboard to dive in a puddle searching for some depth of happiness. Power, obsession, a late night one night stand. My mandate is the most corrupted word in the dictionary. Trust me. And I've got more failures than successes, more zeros than pluses. A union can take 1,000 years, and all it takes is one radio broadcast. And Rwanda is a worldwide celebrity. And I know I have my trophies, but it's like being proud of a little square inch of detail when the rest of the painting's messed up, washed up. Bigger pictures, speaking work sucks. All I want is for more mortals to love more mortals than less. You know, like enduring love. Like her hand helps his hand cross the loaded year, twilight years. All consuming love. Like every letter of every word of every letter in a long distance thing. Love that works like a debt write-off. Like it ain't fair, it ain't right to your bank balance, but your well-being and happiness is paramount, so fuck it, let's share. But that shit isn't realistic on a global scale now, is it? The most I can hope for is peace. That without love is a prison. My career has become a job. It feels like I'm not shooting for love anymore. I pull, I aim, divorce. I pull, I aim, seat. I pull, I aim, pain. So no, I wasn't done in a week. I almost quit once. I put a lot of myself into a setup. Gave a woman guaranteed 60 years of happiness in a plate. And the most she could say about her future potential partner was, yeah, whatever, she's screwable. And that was it. I'd had it. Packed up, moved up, past the pearly gates to the face of the maker. I said, I quit. And he said, motherfucker, I didn't give you immortality just so you can retire. This shit here is for life. And I said, but sir, I failed, I keep failing. And he said, this ain't a win-win, bitch. Is there a choice for every single one game, bitch? And I said, but sir, They are following my instructions and he said these people aren't meant to. They got roles to play in this grand play of life too. Your objective won't be worth nearly if they just bar sheep to your will. You don't want sheep. I don't want sheep. That's why I made Satan. Love's not worth nurturing if it's never skilled any obstructions. And I said, but sir, these people don't want to love. They want to lie, they want to cheat, they want to fuck, they want to kill, they want to hate, they want to hate, they want to hate, they want to hate. And he said some of them want to love. And when your world goes nuclear winter, you have to be the fire in your sleep. You are love, Cupid. You're a rainbow on a field of napalm, a commodity of smiles on a stock market full of frowns, a big ball on a snooker board full of black balls. You do not stop dreaming just because you're having nightmares, mate. You win some, lose some, try again, son. You pull, you aim, you miss. You pull, you aim, you hit. You pull, you aim, you pull, you aim, you pull, you pull, you pull. Do you want a diagram or would you like a map? Get back to work before I strike you down. So yeah, I guess the maker's a bit upset with me. Maybe he's right. Being supreme being and all. Maybe I still have faith. I'm guessing I still do. I still believe in you. I just need whiskey these days, that's all.
To the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times they are a-changing.
Damn, that is an epic fucking song. It almost seems like I should just end it off there. Like, gee, how do you fucking top that? That is fucking cool as shit. But I still got a couple songs that I would like to play, so why the fuck not? Let's throw these on. Let's play another Brad Sucks song. This is a demo he put up a little while ago called Model Home. I ain't really got much else to say. I think in the way of rambling, I'm pretty much packed up. I got my shit ready to go. Managed to fit it all in one book bag. Should all be pretty cool. Nothing left to do but just fucking kick back and listen to some fucking tunes. So, Brad Sucks, Model Home.
Best if you just open your eyes. Only one I've ever played. peaches, I got the cream. I'm gonna show you what I'm supposed to be.
I'm just thinking now about this fucking bus ride, 11 hours. The last time I took a really long bus ride was longer than this. It was coming back from New York like 2 years ago. I managed to get a bus that went all the way from New York straight back to fucking Fredericton. I don't know, it was like 16 hours, I'm thinking. It was kind of fucking crazy. Not pleasant, that's for sure. Anyway, let's do one more song before I go. Since we've had a fair number of slower, quieter songs that kind of build into something. By a fair number, I just mean more than one. That band Live, if you remember them, Lightning Crashes, they played here in town this past weekend. It was this big thing called the Fred Rocks Festival. Like, whoa, Fredericton's finally getting a rock show. And it was the Black Crowes and Live. Pretend it's 1994 and rock out. I don't know, which, try, do what you want, I don't know, try to have a show, sure, but something just sort of sad about just being in a small town and just trying to make something happen when, what are you doing, you know, why even bother? Maybe Fredericton is just not meant to rock the fuck out. Maybe you're supposed to move somewhere else. Or maybe I throw around moving somewhere else way too easily, like it's just so easy for people to do, but, you know, what can I say? You gotta decide what's important, man. You gotta decide what you value. So I didn't go to that show. My dad did. It actually was like a big whole weekend show with a bunch of bands. And the Saturday was like just raining all day, which is fucking shitty for an outdoor show. That sort of sucks. And then Sunday wasn't as rainy, but apparently everything got delayed because like the stage got blown down. So not the best ever fucking event in the world. Didn't totally turn out. But my dad dug out some old Live albums in preparation, and it kind of reminded me how much I at least liked that band. The first two albums I had, and I listened to quite a bit, and then the third one I just, I think I did buy it used somewhere, and I just really never got around to listening to it. So there's this song on their second album called TBD that I never had any idea what it meant. It just was kind of cool, about some book or something, and it kind of builds up, and it's just neat. So I was like, hey, why don't I fucking look this up on the internet? And it turns out the title's letters are an acronym for Tibetan Book of the Dead. It is a very large book. It is analogous. Is that how you say that? Analogous to Christianity's last rites as a way to ease the transition into death. Lead singer Ed Cowles-Razizik sings as if he's the one dying, trying to cope with his imminent fate. The song details his inner conflict and injects some Eastern philosophies into the discussion, as the title suggests. This is based on the life of author Aldous Huxley, Brave New World, and his painful, heroin-filled death. This song was a portent of things to come, as the group's next album, Secret Samdi, 1997, had many references to Eastern philosophy in the lyrics. that album did not sell well. Secret Samity sold very well. It debuted at number one on the Billboard Top 200, and it sold well over 2 million albums. The song is about Aldous Huxley, who had the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which is a Tibetan Buddhism book about not just death, but rebirth and life, read to him while he was fed LSD into his arm. Ed Kowalczyk has said he wanted to die like that. Not prematurely, but if he had a chance to set it up and rig it, it'd be like that. So there you go. The internet has demystified that song entirely. But who gives two fucking shits what songs are about? Either they sound cool or they don't sound cool. And this song does sound cool. So this is TBD by Live. And now I'm gonna go get on a bus in a day and go to Montreal. I will see you guys there. Through the medium of the internet. Alright, while I was putting together this episode, here's a quick little bonus. I was, during the down times, you know, while the computer's just doing shit, I was watching a little porn. And this particular batch of shit that I downloaded, it's got these fucking accents that are so thick, I was like, I'm pretty sure this must be Canadian, but it's like so thick it almost was like Minnesota sounding, this one chick. Anyway, just going through and, oh man, just the way this dude talks, just this little clip, it just so takes you out of it. It just ruins it so completely. Just think of fucking Randy from the Trailer Park Boys and listen to this dude.
Oh, ooh, oh yes, oh yes. Holy fucking fuck. Oh fuck. Oh fuck.
Fuck, Mr.
Oh,
Leahy.
Oh yes, oh yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Come on. Lick those fucking nuts. Lick them like you want them. Say, I love that salty sock.
Cat.
Oh, come on. Suck on that fucking nut sack.
Oh. That's awesome.
That last fucking drip of gum. Oh, my God. Oh, what a fucking princess. So good. Oh, thank you so fucking much for cleaning my plumbing. Oh, God. Bye-bye. Bye. For my nice Canadian girl, eh?